to the Word of God. We'll be in Hebrews 12 once again, this time beginning at verse 18. So let's stand in honor of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 18. Open your heart to God's Word. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably, with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. So the writer to the Hebrews, writing to the early church, perhaps even to the next generation of the early church, and he or she is saying to them that this is a time, this is a moment to pay attention. As things were moving forward in the world, and there's a little bit of distance between them and the things that happened in the time of Jesus on earth, he's saying to them, don't get distracted. Amen? Last week he said, let us run and let us move forward in faith, reaching out and running with perseverance. This week he's talking about listening as we go. The early church could not rely on the world. Now, perhaps what happened back then is kind of what happens now. When we come into the faith, it's because we're dealing with a crisis, because we've experienced a loss, maybe because we have an overwhelming sense of guilt, and we know that we need to have that resolved in God. Maybe we need direction in life, and we're unsure, deeply unsure, about which way to go, and so we come to God, and in Christ we find so much of our needs met, and it's wonderful. But as life moves forward, the question is, how does our faith, how does our trust in God move forward as well? Amen? And so, it could seem to someone who had just recently come to faith and had some of these crises settled, but now time is marching on, it could seem like, oh, well, those things I was concerned about before, they're not really the pressing needs of the day now. Maybe I should just move on. And so the rhythm of the world just sort of marching on is what some people lean back on and rely on in life. Only thinking about spiritual things whenever that horizon gets cloudy or shaky. But the writer to the Hebrews is saying, they should not think that crises will not come again in the future. Amen? Look at the world and how just when you think everything's settled and good, suddenly the rug gets pulled out from underneath and now there's chaos once again. If we put our trust in political things, as soon as it's like putting an octopus to bed. You get a couple of arms in and pretty soon a few more pop out all over the place, right? It's just impossible to keep things steady. So relying on the world is not a reliable way to live. If they are to focus on anything but God alone, then what they are focusing on will eventually give way. I want to say that again. If they find themselves focusing on anything but God alone and God's kingdom, then what they are focusing on will eventually give way. Therefore, the word comes very clear and sharp. It says they should not disobey God's voice. Now, the example is given of in ancient times when it was quite a show physically in front of them, right? There's a mountain, it's smoky, it's fiery, there's lightning, there's thunder, there's a voice. There's a clear warning not to even touch. And so everyone's scared. Even Moses is like, look, I'm scared. And in the midst of that moment, there was so much fear and so much of a sense of awe before God and realizing that they should listen to his voice. But the writer to the Hebrews is saying, your opportunity is an even greater one now. Think about that. Sometimes we hear the stories of the Old Testament and we think, oh, well, God was physically manifested in all these unbelievable ways. Well, how could people disobey God then? That's just crazy. If I had those kind of experiences, I would never make the same mistakes they do. Guess what? Think again. You come from them, right? So, here's the thing for us to think about. The opportunity that had come to this generation of people who had received the good news was an even greater one. And so they should not disobey God's voice in their time either. It might just save their lives if they listen to the voice of God rather than turn away from it. But it will definitely preserve their hope and their future. And that's where the writer to the Hebrews wants them focused. And I believe it's where the Holy Spirit is speaking today as well. They should not obey God's voice out of fear in the sense of all-out terror, in the sense of, oh, I can't even function because there's this greatness before me that I can't imagine. But in our generation and in theirs, the word that comes is a word that comes on the heels of tremendous good news. A word that comes after healing. A word that comes after forgiveness, right? God has already led with great and wonderful, forgiving, holy love in our lives. And so we have every reason in the world to listen to that holy voice. We have learned what is better. When we were following the ways of the world, we found ourselves in trap after trap. We didn't know what to do. We turned to God and found release and a new lease on life and forgiveness and restoration. Are we so quickly now going to drop all of that and think we can go back to relying on the things before? No. And it would be a greater sin for us to do that than even for those who saw the fire and the lightning and the thunder from the mountain. Because we have learned what is better. The reward is greater now than it was for those who were answering then. And the foundation is now more secure in Jesus Christ. And the early church knew the bliss of forgiveness and the blessedness of being included in God's family. So it wasn't just surviving sort of a terrorizing encounter. It's about having your life completely transformed. But in the midst of all that goodness and light and love and being included and being valued, we can just kind of cozy up to all these things and think, oh, yeah, it's really just about me having a good time because I'm having a good time in all this. But no, there is still a voice that rises above, a voice that calls to us, a voice that challenges us, a voice that, yes, invites us, yes, that says, come, but a voice that also says, think, respond, obey, remember. And so the writer to the Hebrews says, do not disobey that voice. Amen? And here we are. And understand that our foundations will be shaken also. You say, well, that's not a new thing. I've had my foundation shaken more than once. If you live out in California, it happens a few times a month, I guess. But we can't rely on the status quo of the emergency seeming to be over as the thing that we now lean on. The apparent strength of our culture or our economy, it can change just like that. We're seeing now stock markets soaring to all-time highs, and now they don't know what to think about the future and the trade wars and all that might come. If you're focused on money and investments and these types of things as your security, well, you're a little bit less secure today than you were a few weeks ago. And even if there's all the money in the world, that really can't help you at all with the problems that matter the most in our lives. Any other kingdom besides God's kingdom is too weak to hold us. Amen? Any other foundation other than the foundation of God's word and of being in relationship with God and in his family, that's absolutely too weak to hold us, anything other than that. So we should not disobey God's leading, lest we miss out on the greater kingdom that is coming. As great as it was when you first came to faith in Jesus Christ, and what could be greater? Well, there's something even more to come. And that's what we have to remember. It's a little tricky for us human beings. We get very fascinated by whatever's happening right in front of us. We can kind of fall into a trance if we're not remembering to focus on things that are higher and better and more. And now that we have these little devices, oh my goodness, it's just too much distraction in your pocket, right? Every little thing is a notification that pops up. I'm constantly trying to go through and say, no, 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 no. Unsubscribe, unsubscribe. But there it is. Now, these are tools that can do amazing things, but I think a lot of people are allowing their phone to be their escape from reality, not something that takes them deeper into it. You could read God's word on your phone. That's what you could do. You could have a prayer list there that would pop up for you first thing every morning for you to pray. There are things that you could do with it. But if you also have a bunch of notifications that come piling in while you're trying to pray, you're probably going to say, oh, and click on one of those, and pretty soon you're into some 30% off ad or something, and you're away from things that matter, or you're into a silly text message from somebody else instead of a message from the Word of God. So we are surrounded by these things. We have to deal with these things, but what are we doing to make sure that we're relying on the things that matter most? Think about it this way. We know that God is bringing a new kingdom. Amen? We know that God is bringing about a new creation. He's making all things new. So therefore, we need to realize holding on to the old is not a very safe investment. Because if we're holding on to things that aren't going to last, that are going to be replaced by something new and better, then suddenly we'll find ourselves holding on to nothing. Amen? Like that song said this morning, the riches of this world will fade. So what is your plan B when you can't rely on those? And if we're holding to things that are going to disappear, we'll find ourselves, as Paul wrote in another place, maybe barely escaping as one through fire with our lives. And we might make it into eternity, but these treasures, these trinkets that we held on to, they won't mean anything. And we, of course, will have to leave them behind. But here's the deeper warning. If we hold too tightly to the things of this world, then when these things go down, we might go down with them. Are you hearing me this morning? If our entire hope is in what happens with the stock market, then God can't even bless us on a day when it goes down. Amen? People walk around depressed and mad and upset that their pile of stuff is worth less today than it was yesterday. Or if you're completely focused on how somebody else feels about you, then if that status changes, oh, then nothing else can go right in the world because someone doesn't think about you the way you thought they did. Or God forbid, somebody just flat out doesn't like you. Imagine that. Well, God's love is there. God's love is always there. God is for us. God has made us. God is forming us into something good and beautiful and usable for Him. That's the love to focus on. But you can insert here wherever your distractions lie. What is the kind of thing that can ruin your day? What's the kind of thing that can get under your skin and cause you to forget who you are and to whom you belong? These are the things to not hold so tightly to. And if we really let these things actually rival our relationship with God, things can get really shaky, really fast. You know, sometimes I feel sorry that God has to deal with us because human beings sometimes are waffling back and forth whether or not they believe God is real. But I'm so glad that God does not waffle, because whether or not we remember to believe in Him, God is always faithful to believe in us. Amen? And He never stops. And He's always investing. And He's trying to give us the things that we need. Amen? He's trying to bless us in every area of our life if we'll let Him. He's trying to give us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Amen? But we keep holding on to the things that He has to shake in order to let that kingdom come. Can you hear what I'm saying this morning? It's not a good system if we keep holding on to what God has to take away. Well, Jesus was giving them a new kind of kingdom. And this was something that no matter how hard they worked, they could not earn. And that's different than the things of the world. Here, you work hard, you save your money, you get ahead, you can do stuff. But in the kingdom of God, it's about God blessing you because God loves you. And just because He has assigned value to you, He's going to bless you. Some people can't receive. Amen? Every family kind of has this one person that at the holiday time, they can't receive a gift. Are you that person or do you know that person? You know what I mean? You hand them a gift and they're like, thank you. They won't open it right then. They'll set it aside. You know, they don't want people looking at them while they open it because it's just sort of awkward. It's hard for them to receive. Now, they may want to shower you with gifts, but it's hard for them to receive. But in the kingdom of God, we have to get good at truly receiving. Now, that's different than being on the take. Are you tracking with me here? This is where we say, it's not even something I knew I wanted, and yet God's trying to give it to me, so I'm going to receive what God has for me. It may not be shiny, it may not be something I can store up, but it may be all that I really need. And so they couldn't earn it, but they also didn't need to fear it in the natural sense. There's no reason to dread the good things that God has for us. Amen? Even though some things that are around us are shaking and falling away, doesn't mean that God doesn't hold us and that better things aren't coming. Amen? We just have to adjust to understand the things that are truly a treasure, the things that are truly having value, the things that can truly hold us. And here's the thing. The writer to the Hebrews was saying they could eternally hope in it. It's not something that will pass away. It's not something that just changes your mood for the hour. It's something that will always be there. You can count on it. You can live out of it. And they could be living in that reality every day. And so for this second generation that's trying to receive it, trying to get it, trying to understand why it's still important when some of the deeper concerns have passed, it's saying, look, this is how awesome life can be. As great as it was when you were forgiven and included in God's family, now you can be living with God's purpose every day, and you can be seeing all the new that is coming and looking forward to the good things God has in store. And here's the adjustment that they're being asked to make. Since it's a kingdom that we have to receive, there's got to be some room in their lives for what is to come. Amen? If God shows up with wonderful blessings, you're like, actually, all my storage is full. There's really not much room for that. So I'm sorry. I can't really accept delivery today. Now, that's ridiculous, right? We wouldn't consciously say that. But if all we're doing is tending to our stuff over here and worrying about that today, we may have our back turned to what God is trying to do in our lives. And we may miss it. He waits patiently outside with all that we need and more. But if we never look up, if we never open ourselves, if we don't make room for the things of God in our life, then we can miss it. Amen? So, living in fear and doubt and disbelief is a way to stay distracted. But living with a holy reverence and awe for God and with a sense of expectation of what may be coming today, tomorrow, in the very near future, this is what keeps us going. Amen? So, to be prepared for the glories that remain, that stay, that are still coming, let's find different ways to live. Because this morning we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let's say that together. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let's say that one more time. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. These are great words. These are words that you should probably put on your mirror or wherever you look every morning. Maybe tape them right on top of your smart, dumb phone, right? So you see it and you remember it. Therefore, we should rejoice because what we're receiving, no one can take away from us. Yes, our God is a consuming fire. And that's good news. Amen? That means what is less can be burned away, so what is purified and ready for the eternal can remain in us and be formed in us. It's like a kiln or an oven. It's like a fire that melts and molds and reshapes into what is beautiful and lasting. Fire here is a powerful metaphor, for we can celebrate that we serve a powerful God who's up to good things, and he's got the power to reshape and remake the world and us. So don't live in paralyzing fear. Instead, every day, be focused on letting God move deeply in your life. And this may involve tuning out from the news just a little bit because we just have so many sources of news. It used to be like once a day, people sat down about 6 o'clock and they saw some of the stuff that was happening in the world. If you happened to be in your car and have the radio on, you might have caught a couple of things, but otherwise you were just going about your life, living, and not. Now it's like you're the president. And every moment you have up to the minute updates on what's happening all around the world, but you're not equipped to respond in any way. So all this anxiety can build up if we let it. Or we can decide we hate people who are getting away with stuff. Or we can decide our side isn't winning, or hey, we are winning, and hey, yay, us. And all these unholy things can take root in our lives when we're just obsessed with moment-to-moment news. So let God move in your life and look for what's God's news today. Look for what is good news today. Amen? You taking a step closer to Him, helping someone else take a step closer to God. What could be any greater than that? Knowing that one day you can look back and you were a part of helping the kingdom to come in someone else's life. The foundations of this world will be shaken so that a new creation can come. So don't get too cozy with the things of this world, but celebrate the glory of what is to come, the glory of a living God, an ever-giving God, a loving God, a holy and righteous God who wants a holy people. Let's come back to these verses and read them together. Do we have the slide for verse 28 and 29? Let's read this together. In fact, let's stand together and read it. Read it loud so it'll really register in your mind and in your heart. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Heavenly Father, we need you. We need you every day. We need you every moment. We need you even when we're tempted to not remember how much we need you for every breath we take. But Lord, these are your people. These are good people. They're here this morning to hear from you and to connect with you and connect with others and be nourished in the word and in faith. And so I pray that you would just write it in their minds and on their hearts, Lord, that they are receiving a kingdom from you that cannot be shaken. And may that reassure them at the deepest depths of their lives. And may something click that the world cannot unclick, that we may go forward seeing and understanding that all that matters is your good news going forth in our time. And we, just like that precious generation that received the letter to the Hebrews, we are the ones standing on the precipice of what is to come. And if we are faithful and if we pass it on and if we let ourselves receive it, Lord, then so many more will know and receive it and experience it in fullness. Let us step into this moment with courage and faith. And may it make all the difference for now and for all eternity. And we ask it in Jesus' powerful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Go in peace, filled with faith and faith.